Okay, this coming Shabbos is going to have the honor and the privilege of reading Parshas Lech Lecha, and of course it begins with the obvious phrase, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, that Avraham Avinu was told to go. And the two times that we find the phrase Lech Lecha utilized in regard to Avraham Avinu are both here, and when Avraham Avinu was told, Lech Lecha La'aretz HaMoriah. And the Medrash notes that the one by the Akedah must be more important than the one here. But the obvious question has to be asked, how do you make a comparison between Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, when Avraham Avinu had to go into the land, and Akedas Yitzchak? How could leaving a land possibly be even more important or beloved than losing a child? What was the Habam, you know, what was the original thought of that particular Medrash? So Schlesinger Shalita, the famous Rav of Gilo, suggests that in order to live in the land of Israel, there are many sacrifices that one needs to make. And the fact of the matter is, until this very day, the challenges of moving to Israel, the challenges of moving to Eretz Yisrael, are special to Hashem. And so therefore, it's certainly a discussion that needs to be raised, but certainly is a discussion that needs to be raised, but obviously Akedas Yitzchak wins out in the end. So again, Lech Lecha, is still one of the great nisyonos. And the Torah tells us, V'hayei brachan, you're going to be a blessing. And so Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva, Bateras explains that one has an obligation to be a blessing. That's just the way it is. In this world, we have a truth. And the truth is, says Rav Baruch Mordechai, that when one makes the idea of being a brach, the mantra in life, then everything becomes a bracha for him in the process. So, V'hayei bracha, that's what we need to do. That needs to be one of our great mantras in life. And then we're told that Avram and Sarah leave, and they take Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, the souls that they created in Charan, and Rashi, of course, cites the famous Medrash that Avram Megayeres HaAnashim, Besar Megayeres Es HaNashim, Avram and Sarah made Gerim, they made converts. But what type of Gerus did they do? It was, after all, before Matan Torah. So what kind of Gerus could be if it happened without a Beis Din, without a Torah? So the great Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shalita noted that the entirety of the Geirus consisted of a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, the idea of accepting the yoke of heaven, did not need a Beis Din. So Avram must have taught the converts the halachos of Avodah Zarah with the halachos of the other Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach and told them to be a Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim. And this was the conversion process. And, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, this conversion process is good enough with the Yachid Mumcha. So he suggests. Okay, so then Avraham Avinu finds that they're going down to the land of Egypt. And he tells Sarah Imenu that, Imri na chosi, I want you to tell them that you are my sister, l'man yitav li bavurech, so that they'll be good to me because of you. Now, was Avraham really willing to give his wife to become his zona, really just to give him presents? Ramban even suggests that this was a mistake of Avraham Avinu. He didn't show bitachon b'Hashem here. So why was he interested in bribery and not tznias? Did he ignore the factors of the of his purity of his family and chesed? So Rav Avram Rivlin Shlita, the former mashgiach of Karen B'Yavna, he explained that Avram knew that galus is so overpowering that it could infect his children in the future with a desire to disperse and disband. And in particular, in those moments of challenge, it's the Jewish women who are at the most risk because of the great challenges of the breakdown of the family. And losing their support of the Jewish nation was, in the mind of Avraham and Sarah, potentially catastrophic. Because as we know in general, the women were always more supportive of the Jewish nation than their male counterparts. Think about what happened when the Jews were in Galus. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim, B'schus Nashim Tzidkaniyos Negalu Avoseinim Mitzrayim. Think about the Bnei Slavchad, who were told were Mechavavos Eseret Yisrael. Think about the women who did not want to be involved in the process of the Meraglim. The women derived their strength from the paradigms of the women who demonstrated that same strength in history. These women of the Jewish nation looked towards their imahos in order to show them that they had to be strong. And so Avraham and Sarah, knowing what was going to happen in the future, agreed to the power plan in order to set the tone of strength of the future of Am Yisrael, so suggests Rav Rivlin. He knew that the women had to have this lesson, and so he taught it. So Avram gets involved in the battle between the four kings and the five kings, and he wins the battle, and the king of stone tells him, "Tein li hanefesh v'arachush kachloch, let me have my kingdom back, but you can keep all the wealth." And Avram Avinu says, "Are you crazy? Mechut v'atzroch now, from a thread to the shoelace, I ain't taking nothing." And in the merit of the denial of the gifts from the king of stone, Avram's children merit the strings of tzitzis and the straps of tefillin. Kind of reminds me of Shechter Shalita, would remind us of the comments of the author of the Haflah, the Panim Yafos, who noted that this is the reason we put on the left shoe first. It's a reminder of the connection between the shoe and the tefillin, which are worn on the left, which is a reminder of the shoe strap that Avram Avinu gave up. Rav Shechter also added that we find a similar historical connection to the concept of saying L'chaim. Why do we say L'chaim when we drink? So the answer is, once upon a time, the reason people drank was in order to anesthetize a killer before he got his death sentence. So as to contrast to that opportunity, people would say L'chaim as opposed to, unfortunately, L'mavis. Rav Shechter reminds us that when you're going to make that L'chaim has to come after the bracha and an initial sip of the wine. After all, in this week's parsha, we also read about Malki Tzedek, who took out the bread and the wine, and first gave a bracha to Avraham Avinu, and then only later to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which of course was incorrect. So a person needs to remember that through history, sometimes we can learn some tremendous lessons about life, and the connections through our minhagim serve a very important role. Then Avraham Avinu enters a conversation with Hashem, and as he was getting involved, we're told, Vayhi Hashemesh Allah, V'tardeima Gedola Nofelas Al Avram, that the sun was setting and a deep sleep befell Avram Avinu. And the Yalkut Shimoni quotes Rabbi Yeshua of Sakinin, who explains that sleep is the beginning of all sorts of trouble. And Rav Altuski Zatzal explains that we're dealing with sleep that takes place for no reason. That is to say, any time a person deviates from one's set schedule in Avodas Hashem, that serves as the basis of the beginning of Nefila, of failure. And a person has to be careful not to fall into those situations. So then he was told, count the stars, imtuchal esporotam, right? It sounds as if the challenge is one that's based on size, that the Jewish nation will be so great in the future that the people won't be able to be counted. But Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal notes that the difficulty in counting stars is not just based on the sheer size, excuse me, but also the enormous space that exists between them. The stars are shining from so many distance points that getting an accurate count of them is impossible. And so Rav Schwab pointed out that the same can be said of the Jewish people. We're so great in so many ways, and we make impact on the world at so many different times. We reach into our past when we're facing crises of the moment. We look to the future to sustain us in the moment. The moments have impacts on the past and on the future, and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's efforts, we should be able to learn from that great bracha of the stars. We also, later, Avraham Avinu gets the mitzvah of the Bris Milah, and he's told, "Hishalich lefanai veheyeh samim," that he should walk before, you should walk before in front of me and be tamim. And Sforno notes that the word tamim here refers to a sense of completeness. In other words, one needs to be complete in his Yirah Shamayim. And how does one achieve that shleimus? So the late great Meir Rosh Yeshiva Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkelzatzal explained that Torah is referred to as tamima. It's both shleima, and it brings shleimus to the person who studies it. And so having an established Torah schedule also leads to shleimus. And that's what we learn from Yaakov Avinu. If one achieves it, one is primed to shleimus. If you have set schedules in life, you too will be an Adam HaShalim. Finally, we read from the Haftorah this week, from Yishayahu Perek Mem. And Rabbi Wein, Shalita, the great Rav of Yerushalayim, my parents' Rav in Yerushalayim, explains that in all of Tanakh, the strongest indictment against paganism is found in this week's parasha, in Parashas Lach Lecha. The Haftorah over here is similarly unsparing. Just as Avram's opposition to paganism set him against the rest of the world, so too does the faith of the Jewish people set them apart. There's a high price for standing up for morality in an immoral world, but yet, as Yishayahu HaNavi assures us, in the Haftorah we read, HaKilo Yitosh Hashem Es Amo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never abandon us. We have a responsibility in our own lives not to abandon ourselves. Ad Bias Goel Tzedek, until we get the opportunity to go forward, L'yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucho L'chaye Olamim, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us a wonderful Shabbos to all.